This is VOA's Plugged In Podcast.
No evidence of collusion. That is U.S. Attorney General William Barr's summary at the conclusion of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's two-year probe into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. President Donald Trump calls it a complete and total exoneration. But Democrats say, not so fast. What exactly did the Mueller report uncover? And has the cloud hanging over the White House finally lifted?
Hello, welcome to Plugged In. I'm Greta Van Susteren. It's over. After months and months and months of anticipation, Special Counsel Robert Mueller has concluded his investigation to whether the Trump campaign conspired with Russia to poison the outcome of the 2016 American presidential election. It's now up to Attorney General William Barr to decide how much of Mueller's report, if any, will be released to Congress and to the American people. But that has not stopped lawmakers from weighing in. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports.
The results of the Mueller report now known, but so far only in summary. Attorney General Barr has to act with caution before releasing it in full, Republicans said.
Throwing innocent people under the bus and throwing open classified records doesn't strike me as a good idea. And I trust him to begin to go through this.
But without the full report, Democrats said it is impossible to make an informed decision.
I don't need Attorney General Barr's interpretation of the report. I am for the report. And our main thrust on this issue is simply transparency. Release the report, then come to conclusions.
Heads of six Democratic-controlled House committees formally asked Barr to turn over the report by April 2nd. If he does not comply, a House Judiciary Democrat hinted at their next steps.
As a committee, we have a subpoena power. And frankly, I don't see anything in the special counsel's regulations that would prohibit Attorney General Barr from releasing it. We have a 420-0 vote in the House, the People's House, that indicates that it should be seen, and the percentage of the American people who argue for that point.
Mueller's report welcomed by President Trump, who said it ended some Democrats' discussion of impeachment.
I don't think they're talking about impeachment. We have the greatest economy we've ever had. Our country is in incredible shape. They and others created a fraud in our country with this ridiculous witch hunt, where it was proven very strongly no collusion, no obstruction, no nothing.
Democrats say the full report could help resolve lingering questions about Mueller's decision not to fully exonerate Trump of obstruction of justice charges, even as they push for a renewed focus on policy.
House Democrats are focused on kitchen table pocketbook issues involving lower health care costs and increased pay for everyday Americans.
But they are also still forging ahead with their own investigations into other Trump activities, including his tax returns and foreign business dealings. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
Joining us from Capitol Hill is VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson. Catherine, the Republicans hold the Senate. They're the majority, and the Democrats are the majority in the House. Are there any Republicans who are calling for the Mueller report to be delivered to the House or the Senate?
Well, so far, Greta, what we were hearing on Capitol Hill this week after the Mueller report came out from Republicans is that what was needed was an apology to President Trump, that after these months and months of investigations, after all of the speculation, after all of the subpoenas and the witnesses, President Trump is exonerated in their eyes, and what he is owed next is an apology from the people who are speculating about his role during the 2016 campaign.
Well, the Democrats are not going to give up asking for the report, of course. Speaker Pelosi, who runs the House of Representatives, what is she telling her Democratic caucus?
She was urging calm to members of her caucus yesterday. She was saying that they need to wait. Right now, all they have is this four-page summary from the Attorney General, and when they get the full report, if they get that full report, then they can make some determinations when they've seen those full details.
Well, some members of Speaker Pelosi's caucus, some other Democrats in the last few weeks and months, have been suggesting that they want to impeach the President of the United States. Now that the Mueller report has come out, and said that there is no collusion between the campaign and Russia. Does that change any of the people in her caucus?
I think it really does. I think it makes impeachment such a hard sell on the far left. And all of these moderate Democrats who are already looking forward to their 2020 run are going to be worried about appearing too extreme and too anti-President Trump. They're already looking ahead to the issues that they need to run on, the economy, health care, infrastructure. Those are the issues that you're going to hear them pushing in the coming days.
What's your sense, since you work the Hill so much, what's your sense in terms of the shock of the report when the report was finally delivered to the Attorney General of the United States from the special prosecutor? And then, of course, it went the summary, then or the report from or the letter from the Attorney General then went to Congress. What was the reaction on the Hill?
You know, it was this weird anticlimactic feeling, Greta. It was this feeling that after months and months of buildup, we all felt that there was going to be some big explosive moment. And on the other hand, we actually just kind of had this wait-and-see approach. We're waiting to see if we will get to see the full Mueller report rather than this four-page summary. I think if the Mueller report does come out, that's when we might see a little bit of a more explosive reaction up here on Capitol Hill.
All right, the Mueller report is divided essentially the two parts. One is the report by Special Prosecutor Mueller himself, but then there are all the documents underlying it, which include, I assume, some documents from the grand jury, since he convened a grand jury to investigate. That's protected by a special rule. Are the Democrats still seeking to get those grand jury documents?
There was a discussion about getting some of those documents, some of those underlying details, so that they could then build off of those documents for their own investigations. But, of course, we know we're still going on here on Capitol Hill. The House Judiciary Committee, the House Oversight Committee, all of those investigations will still be going on, and they'll want to be playing off of some of the material that the special counsel gathered.
Are they shifting more to the president's business activities on the Hill with those investigations, away from that, now that it seems that the Russian collusion business is over?
That's right, Greta. You know, they'll be asking for the president's tax returns. They'll be looking into some of the foreign influence in his business dealings, those allegations. They'll be looking at the way his family has been conducting business overseas. All of those investigations still going on. They'll be going on into the 2020 presidential election.
You've been up there a number of years. Is there a fever pitch against the president up there among the Democrats? Are they more revved up than perhaps you've seen in past times where you have a Republican president and the Democrats are revved up, or Democratic president and the Republicans revved up?
Well, I'd say that Nancy Pelosi is trying to keep a close eye on her caucus, keep everybody focused on what they call those kitchen table issues so that they don't get distracted by the issue of impeachment. I think Pelosi sees that as a real loss for her party headed into those 2020 elections.
Catherine, thank you.
You're welcome.
Switching from the legislative branch, where Catherine is, to the executive branch, that's over at the White House, American President Donald Trump was quick to give his opinion, and it was, as you might expect, delivered on Twitter. He tweeted, "No collusion, no obstruction, complete and total exoneration. Keep America great." Now, many of his supporters echo that sentiment, calling the Mueller report a total vindication for the president. With more on the White House's reaction to the Mueller report, we are joined by VOA Steve Herman, who is at the White House. Steve, to say that the report, at least what we know right now, is a complete exoneration is not true. It just simply says that there's been no crime, essentially, right?
That's correct, Greta. What we have is the Attorney General's interpretation of what is in the special counsel's report. And until we get to see that report, we won't know exactly what language was used. But even according to the Attorney General's summary, this was not a total exoneration.
I imagine when the report came out on Friday at the White House, you would almost, if you're in the press corps, hear a huge sigh of relief at the White House. Tell me the reaction there.
Well, at first, I guess there's a sigh of relief that this long period of waiting is over. But then, of course, you know, there's going to be a tremendous amount of immediate spin that you're going to be reporting on, and that the weekend was ruined.
You know, I was struck by how I thought the president, the characteristic of the president, is that he would have been out doing much more celebrating and making a bigger deal of this report than he did. I thought he's quite tempered. And I guess it's a question of what your expectations is. He certainly took to Twitter, but I was actually surprised he didn't do more.
Well, there is a lot going on here, and the president has been making comments about it, as you know, as well as the press secretary and others in this administration. And there's been a pretty quick pivot, actually, from the talk of vindication to, in a sense, being vindictive, to say now that we need to go after those in the Obama administration who were responsible for this investigation, and Democrats who were accusing the president of all sorts of things, including treasonous behavior.
And, of course, that, of course, is the comment that was made by the former director of the CIA, that there was treasonous behavior, suggesting that he knew something others did not.
Right. And now we have the president throwing this treasonous talk right back in their faces, saying that there needs to be investigations. Of course, to use the T word is extremely sensitive. There's probably nothing more in the federal statutes dire than accusing someone of treason with all those consequences. So very much on the offensive is the White House attitude, and this is going to be something they are going to be touting heavily during the 2020 election campaign.
And, of course, the target seems at least to be on Twitter, and among many in the Republicans, if you follow them on Twitter, is former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. People, the Republicans, many of them are calling for her to be investigated. What's the thinking at the White House about that?
Well, we've always seen since the presidential campaign that Hillary Clinton has should be a target of an investigation, according to Trump and Republicans. That was something he was constantly mentioning at his rallies during the past couple of years, and he hasn't let up on that. A lot of other people are saying, look, she lost the election. She's not running in 2020. Time to move on and put the focus on something else. But President Trump, when he gets something to hold on to and talk about, he doesn't give it up, even if it's something that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I think he'll still be talking about Hillary Clinton in 2020.
Well, to those who think that we're only obsessed with this investigation, there's a lot going on in Washington around the world. And in fact, the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, was here on Monday at the White House talking to the president. But the question did come up. Let's listen to what the president had to say about the investigation.
But what they did, it was a false narrative. It was a terrible thing. We can never let this happen to another president again.
So I guess that at least it does show that there's other business going on at the White House. He was meeting with at least with the prime minister, and I take it there are other things going on as well. Is that right?
Yes. In fact, just a few minutes ago, the president in the Oval Office made a fresh comment about Venezuela. He was asked about the presence, apparently, of Russian troops there and said that the Russians have to get out of Venezuela and all options are on the table. So that's something we've just heard in the past few minutes. And that will probably be a big focus during the rest of the day here because we have the presence of the wife of the president recognized by the United States of Venezuela, the so-called Venezuelan First Lady, meeting with the vice president and now the president.
Steve, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Mueller investigation is one of the most important investigations, if not the most important investigation in U.S. history. But what exactly is the Mueller investigation? Who is Robert Mueller? And why was he investigating the Trump 2016 campaign for president? Here are some answers.
Robert Mueller's special counsel investigation began as an outgrowth of an FBI probe into Russian interference in the 2016 American presidential election. In May of 2016, 6 months after President Trump was elected president, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein appointed the former FBI director, Mr. Mueller, to lead the investigation. The scope of the probe was to investigate any links and or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of then-candidate for President Donald Trump, as well as any matters arising directly from the investigation were included in Mueller's mandate. Within a month, Mueller started to investigate whether President Trump attempted to obstruct justice.
I don't think he did anything.
The special counsel's investigation has led to 37 indictments of individuals and entities, 8 guilty pleas, and 1 conviction for crimes ranging from lying to investigators to tax and bank fraud. Among those pleading guilty or convicted at trial, Paul Manafort, Trump's former campaign chairman, Michael Cohen, President Trump's longtime personal attorney, and Michael Flynn, Trump's first national security advisor. Mueller built a respected career in law enforcement. Just before the attacks of September 11, 2001, he was appointed as FBI director by then U.S. President George W. Bush. And President Barack Obama asked him to stay 2 years beyond the normal 10-year term as director of the FBI. Mueller is a Marine veteran of the Vietnam War who successfully prosecuted Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega for drug trafficking, organized crime boss John Gotti on murder and racketeering charges, and Mueller led the criminal investigation into the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103.
So what happens next now that the special counsel has submitted his report and ended his investigation? Is it over? Well, not really. To discuss the legal and political ramifications of the Mueller report, we are joined by Professor Ilya Sohman, a law professor at George Mason University Law School. He is the author of Democracy and Political Ignorance. Nice to see you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
So what do you think, how do you describe the overall impact on this presidency of this investigation so far? And there are still other parts that are going forward.
So it's far from over. However, obviously, Trump does benefit from the apparent finding that there wasn't collusion. On the issue of obstruction of justice, I think there's a long way to go before we really get to the bottom of that.
All right. There are two other investigations going on. There'll be the Capitol Hill. The legislative branch is going to hold hearings and on other things, I guess, on President Trump's business dealings. But there's also investigation going on in a federal grand jury up in New York. What is that about?
So I believe that is actually about financial matters relating to the Trump Foundation, if I understand correctly. But I'm actually not as up on that as the matters relating to the Mueller report.
Right. There's a dispute between Democrats and Republicans, a political dispute, about whether or not the Mueller report was an exoneration. Looking at the obligation of the special counsel, it was to determine whether there's a crime associated with any sort of collusion. Is that correct?
Yes, and also to investigate the issue of Russian interference in the election more generally.
All right. And his job included also if he found any crimes associated with it during his investigation, he could follow those. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Was his job ever to make an affirmative statement of exoneration or not?
So that's not entirely clear. It doesn't specifically say in his mandate that he must either make a statement of exoneration if he believes that would be justified or not make it. However, it would seem to me that at the very least, making a statement like that, if he thought it was justified, would be permissible for him if he wanted to do it.
See, I looked at the letter from Rod Rosenstein, who was the deputy attorney general who appointed special counsel, and I combed it pretty carefully. And his obligation was certainly to investigate and charge if he saw a crime. I never saw the affirmative duty, and I've never seen a prosecutor having, just generally in the United States, a prosecutor having the general obligation or duty, or even seen it frequently come out and actually say the person's clear, the person didn't do it. It's usually we didn't find a crime and we don't charge.
Yes, but I think the duties of a special counsel are considerably different in some ways from those of an ordinary prosecutor, because with a highly sensitive, high-profile matter involving a president like this, where his charge is not just to prosecute or choose not to prosecute, but to investigate the issue more generally, I think there's a good case to be made that at least it's within the discretion of the special prosecutor to make a conclusion about exoneration if such a conclusion is warranted, even though an ordinary prosecutor wouldn't do that.
We have a huge world audience, and we explained what the special counsel is and who Robert Mueller is. Can you explain how it is that Congress can now investigate the president?
Yeah, absolutely. Congress can investigate the president if they want to, irrespective of whether there is a special counsel or not. They have the power of oversight over the executive branch to try to make sure that it's functioning well and also to look for possible evidence of wrongdoing and crimes.
And if they did find that, let's say hypothetically, and this is totally hypothetical, they found some business deal they thought was shady and was a crime in the course of the legislative branch holding these hearings about the president's business dealings, then what?
They have a lot of options. The most extreme would be impeaching the president, which if the House of Representatives did that, would lead to a trial in the Senate. If he were convicted there, he would be removed. But they also have other options. They could try to pass a resolution of censure. They could also try to defund parts of the administration, and they might have other alternatives as well.
All right. Now, Speaker Pelosi, who runs the House as a speaker, and that's in, she's a Democrat, and the Democrats have the majority right now, she's sort of putting the brakes on any sort of discussion of impeachment as a practical matter, because if it did get sent over to the Senate, that is, the majority is the Republicans, and it is highly unlikely that the Republicans would convict him absent some extraordinary information. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that she's probably has sort of a longer view, and why she's putting sort of the lid on her party not to go too aggressive on this.
Absolutely. I think she recognizes that if they try to impeach and look like they're being overly aggressive on it without sufficient evidence, then it will backfire politically on them. And of course, she surely remembers how the impeachment of President Clinton 20 years ago backfired on the Republicans back then.
Thank you, Professor. Despite the sharp divisions here in the United States, general reaction to the Mueller report has been muted in Russia, with President Vladimir Putin maintaining that his country never interfered in the domestic affairs of other nations. Igor Sikonenko, our correspondent in Moscow, canvassed Russian citizens for their reaction. Most said they were happy America's Russian investigation is over. Nearly all Russians we talked to insisted Russia played no role in electing a U.S. president. However, the Mueller report concluded the opposite.
U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller may be a household name in America, but in the busy streets of Moscow, many have no idea who he is, as VOA's Igor Sianenka quickly learned.
Do you recognize this man?
No.
No.
But those who do stand firmly behind their government's assertion that Russia had nothing to do with the 2016 election.
Russia doesn't have the desire nor resources to influence the will of the American people.
Experts are not surprised. Denis Volkov at the Levada Center says for most Russians, the typical response is to repeat the official party line.
It's just like we were rejecting the idea of Russian troops being in Crimea until Putin said, yes, those were our soldiers. But previously, he denied it.
Volkov has been studying public opinion in Russia for 10 years. He suspects some of the Russian apathy towards the United States may be a response to historical grudges and conflicts between Moscow and the West.
I'd say it's almost some kind of envy towards a country that is number one, because just recently there was a parody, and 30 years ago it all ended.
But the head of Russian International Affairs Council, Andrei Kortunov, disagrees. He says current attitudes have more to do with Russia's rising prominence.
I think for an average Russian, it's a mechanism of attracting American attention. Russia means something, and you cannot write it off. You cannot call it Upper Volta with missiles or a gas station that pretends to be a country.
But Volkov sees parallels between Russians and Americans in a recent survey conducted by both the Levada Center in Moscow and the Chicago Council on Global Affairs.
It amused me quite a bit. The answers were mirror images of each other. The Russians said, it's not us, it's them who interfere in our affairs. The exact opposite was true for the U.S.
Both analysts agree that on issues that pit one government against another, such as a U.S. investigation into Russian meddling, conventional wisdom is often shaped less by facts and more by allegiance to country.
And back here in the United States, the Department of Justice has announced it will take weeks, not months, to make a copy of the Mueller report available to the public. For the big picture, we are joined by VOA national correspondent Jim Malone. And I should probably add, Jim, we don't even know if the public is going to get the report. That hasn't been determined.
No, not yet.
All right, Jim, tell me the big picture. Now that we have the Mueller report saying no collusion,
right?
There's no charges for obstruction or anything else. How is this going to be used in the 2020 election, right, which is 18 months away, but we start politicking way ahead of elections?
Yes, we do. It's moving from the legal sphere now to the political. It always was in the political sphere, but more so now. So it's a big win for President Trump politically. There's no doubt about it. How much will it help him in his reelection bid? We don't know yet. Certainly, he's able to keep his core supporters together. They'll be reaffirmed by this and get ready to hear on the campaign rallies things like no collusion, witch hunt, and I told you so. So the president will have something to do there. But I think the untidiness of the Mueller report, the summary that we got from the Attorney General, this reference to there was no exoneration on the issue of obstruction of justice, is going to give the Democrats enough to press, to continue to press, for the full report, or at least as much as possible to be released?
Well, I know that this won't stop the president from gloating. I mean, this president likes to gloat. He likes to take to Twitter. But I would be, if I were advising him, he hasn't asked me for advice, I would be somewhat cautious, because there is this investigation going on in New York, in the Southern District of New York. And I'm an old defense lawyer, and we all say you can indict a ham sandwich. So there's always the fear that something else could come up there.
Here's the thing. So much, especially by Trump opponents, was invested in the Russia probe. With the air basically out of that balloon, some lingering questions about obstruction, I think all the other investigations, there's a sense of deflation among the Democrats. I think the focus now is clearly on the election. In the long run, this may be doing the Democrats a bit of a favor. They have to clarify now who their nominee is going to be to take on Donald Trump in November of 2020. And it clarifies that the only way they're going to take him on and defeat him is in the election. They can no longer rely on something like impeachment or judicial or congressional investigations to get at the root. It's going to be taking him on for the vision of the country that they would propose.
Well, you hear an awful lot about former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who ran against the president and lost in 2016. Republicans are constantly talking about it. There's clamors all over Twitter, to investigate her, fair treatment, and, that this president got investigated, so why not investigate her? How potent is she a target for the Republican Party? Why are we hearing so much about her?
I think less so, because she's not the Democratic nominee in 2020.
So you think we're going to hear less about her?
Elections are often about the future. And here's the thing. What does the president do now? He has a big moment. He could actually try to broaden his appeal, something he's not been able to do or not been interested in doing. He could try to broaden it to more independent voters now in the wake of the Russia probe.
How?
By just focusing on his economic gains, the tax cuts, things like that, and moving away from the investigation. But there's talk now they want to sort of go after people who were behind the investigation to begin with, to refight that, to relitigate, in a sense, that could be politically not the most astute thing.
But there's a difference between, the FBI, there were a lot of things the FBI did during this investigation, whether it's texts back and forth that were unsavory, but, certainly worthy. The American people should want oversight of the FBI and find out exactly what happened. That's a little bit different to me than going after a campaign of 2016. Do you agree?
The Russia probe never really caught on as much with the public. People are focused on things like health care, the economy, and where the country's headed. And I think the president would be wise to tout his economic accomplishments, run on that, to go backward and relitigate the Russia probe when the voters aren't that interested in it. If you look at the polls, it's not the top issue by far. So I think that and you have people like Lindsey Graham now, a close ally of the president, advising him on this, even though Graham would like to see some investigation of the sort of the roots of the Russia probe.
Yes, I agree. There are about 15 to 20 Democrats who are vying to get the nomination for 2020. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall in their campaign offices when the report came out?
Yeah, it would have been interesting because Democrats, let's be fair, they were hoping that the report was going to be damaging, that it could somehow weaken the president's reelection chances. They now know they're going to have to fight on their own terms. But I think they're ready. Not a lot of them are talking about the Russia probe, by the way, and haven't been since they've been on the campaign. They're more about things like income inequality and health care concerns. And, of course, the president has upped the ante on health care by, wanting now to completely gut Obamacare, which is going to put that back as a front and center issue in the election.
Not that the president ever had to worry about someone within his party challenging him for the nomination, but does this report pretty much mean that nobody's going to be a serious contender against him?
It makes it seems to me a lot less likely. He's always been strong with his Republican base, and I think this is going to make him even stronger.
Although we probably should tell the viewers around the world, never say never when it comes to politics, right?
That's right.
Especially.
That's right.
Anyway, Jim, thank you.
You bet.
That's all the time we have for today. Stay plugged in by liking us on Facebook at Voice America. And you can also like my Facebook page at facebook.com/Greta. And do follow me on Twitter. A lot of people follow me on Twitter and give me a lot of trouble. But do follow me there. It's at Greta. Thanks for being plugged in.
Thanks for listening to VOA's Plugged In.